Would you please sign in and introduce yourselves from now? We're not really in stereo here, so you're just going to have to deal with good old mono. So you could say you're on the left if you politically feel that's correct, or we could just ignore all of this. Now you're on your stage left.
Okay.
No. From me. But from you, you're stage right.
I am Ben from the Joggers, and I'm everywhere.
Hi, this is Daryl from the Joggers.
And where are you?
I have no idea.
Being next to Ben, I'm obviously being in a band with Ben. That already, you see, before the interview, there's always a little chit chat. So I'm on to Ben already. I know where the certain comments and input is going to come from in this interview. Couple number three.
I'm Jake, and I'm on the bottom.
Does that imply that Ben is on the top?
Usually. No, I'm everywhere. I'm also on the bottom.
All right. Let's get to the obvious dumb question. Name of band, Sports Enthusiasts?
No.
Ben, you just don't strike me as a big, excuse me for saying this, but a big jogger.
Oh, no. I think the story goes that we had to give a name to the CD production facility because one of our first recordings was going to be reproduced the next day. And we couldn't think of something good, so we thought we would think of something so bad. We thought we'd take an activity that is, in general, found to be kind of ridiculously lame, incredibly lame by the sort of hipster aristocracy types in Portland that we have a specific pity for or something. I don't know.
Nice.
And so we wanted to take kind of like the worst name possible. It's an in-joke.
Nice. The Portland thing is going to just go over big. Luckily, I don't think we have a lot of listeners. We have a lot of listeners in Denmark.
Yeah.
So I don't think the listeners in Denmark will be appalled by the Portland.
Right.
Portland comment. At least we can hope.
I think if I didn't have to go to work at 7 a.m. the next morning, we probably wouldn't have been called the Joggers. I'm not sure what it would have been, but I
something else.
Would
okay,
have
well, you just went there. So, what were some of the rejected? This was not even on my list, but we're going there.
I can't even remember.
Come on, what was some of the Joggers was like the crappy name,
yes.
And now you're stuck with it.
Now I'm stuck with
what
it.
What was
one.
Like the ultra crappy name?
Well, I remember.
There was
one.
A bunch of crappy ones.
Lace Boys.
Lace Boys, which is actually superior.
The Lace Boys.
Lace Boys.
I like the Lace Boys. That conjures up all sorts of... Now, you see, because this is radio, of course, nobody can see exactly what Ben is wearing, but I can see that the Lace Boys would be highly, you know, appropriate.
Absolutely.
The Lace Boys. Woof.
The Leafs.
The Leafs.
The Leafs was an idea.
Now, Leafs like L-E-A-F or like mm-hmm. L-I-E?
No, like a grammatically incorrect.
Like
intentionally grammatically incorrect
right,
spelling
the
of the Leafs.
Right.
Yeah, that would that
not
would
like
work
the leaves of a book. Or
how to get misspelled as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything good, as you can tell, so we went with something bad.
Well, and Katie, our producer, of course, you know, sends an email, and then she said it, and I cannot do her accent, so I'm just not going to, but she said, have you heard of the Joggers? And so I immediately thought you were British. What does Portland have in common with Liverpool?
Is that a
wide
real
open
question?
Ben? Wide open? Yes, it is wide open, Ben.
They are both maritime cities of the Industrial Revolution.
He's shaking his head and saying, "No." What are you out of your mind?
Nothing. It has nothing.
Other
it
band
nothing
member
to
shakes
do.
Head.
I don't think it has anything to do with Liverpool.
Yeah, because you know we always try that when a band's from Detroit, we try the you know combination industrial cities and good rock and roll comes out of industrial cities.
Yeah, no,
but
I'm being
Portland
facetious.
Ain't that. Portland's pretty. Mm.
Does good rock and roll come out of there? There's a lot of bands, I think, because it's cheap. People can afford basements there, and so it's kind of a magnet for people who don't want to have a job that costs a lot, so they can afford a house with a basement.
Is everybody in the Joggers from Portland?
No.
We're all from the East Coast, but we met up in Portland through friends and through the newspaper.
Wherefore art in the East Coast, stage right to left?
Suburban Boston.
Hartford, Connecticut. Rochester, New York.
Wow. Okay, I can do each one. Where in suburban Boston?
Newton, Massachusetts.
Yes, and wherefore art?
Just 13 miles south of Hartford, Berlin.
Hartford, University of Hartford dated people there. Great school.
That's right.
Great school. Well, only because people would date me there. And Rochester, well, how can you lose? Kodak and Xerox.
Exactly.
Beautiful not city. See, he's the closest. Longer. Rochester is the closest.
Rochester is the
it's
closest,
not as good
yeah.
as Buffalo.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
You know, downtown Rochester, you know,
it's way better
downtown
than Buffalo.
Buffalo. Downtown Buffalo is like, you can compare Buffalo. This is nothing to do with you, but it's kind of fun. Downtown Buffalo and downtown Detroit. Now, there's a good combo punch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sorry. Well,
burnout.
Yeah.
Buildings. And
yeah. Fun stuff.
Fun.
All right. The album's name. Okay. Everybody's dumb. So explain the pun. Just remember, everybody's dumb.
Daryl's going to field this one.
Oh, okay. Well, while we were recording the album, oftentimes we would work on a take and halfway through have to stop and retune. And I play a guild bass, which never needed to be retuned in all those times. And so it was actually coined by the gentleman who recorded the album, Jeff Saltzman, who said, punched in and said, "Solid guild." And we all had a chuckle and it kind of stuck.
We're big fans of really bad puns, and by most people's
you're
estimations,
gonna fit into this
bad,
crew really well.
Bad jokes, and so really crummy puns kind of stick with us for a while.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Lovely. Like I said, you fit right into this crowd quite, and then we've got the East Coast energy in the room. So now I know exactly where we can take all of this.
Good.
Every darn review that I have read of Solid Guild
has plagiarized the first review.
Well, that and all four of them sing.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Beatles, I guess they all four of them. All four of them sing. So, what's their point? That like you have harmonies and like there's actual singing on the album.
You could take that as an insult because
well, no, they've turned it around both ways.
Well, I mean,
overabundance of vocals. It's like, thank you.
I was just gonna say that there was nothing else salient enough about the music besides four vocals that they had to focus on that. No, I mean, I don't know. I guess we all like vocal music. We all, and in particular, what people seem to focus on is this piece of music that we borrowed from American Sacred Harp shape note singing. I don't know if you know anything about that. But
no,
it's
but you're going to tell me.
It's it was a form
of... It was in the reviews, and I did read it, but...
Church, congregational singing. It's called shape note because the people who are singing this stuff were often musically untrained and not musically literate or even traditionally literate. And so the people who are putting together these songbooks would put certain shapes on the notes within the book in order to, because they thought it would make it easier for the congregations to read the intervals.
And then they started singing square, circle, square, triangle, trapezoid, and well, went down the tubes.
So sala, yeah, exactly, whatever. But that's what people seem to focus on, and that was stolen from, or borrowed rather, from the Sacred Harp songbook, which was something that my parents used to play a lot in our home. It was not a Christian household, but they loved the music.
Can I find these in the cutout bin somewhere? Because, you know...
You can find this music. It's Alan Lomax was the first guy to really
right.
record.
Okay, there you go.
He did a lot of recording of it.
I actually know who Alan Lomax is. Well,
as I imagine you might.
And audience, your assignment for tonight, audience, is to write a 3-page paper on Alan Lomax. Send it in, and we'll give you a copy of the Joggers LP.
Sure.
Which is what they called them back when Alan Lomax was making long players. Okay. Star Time, influential indie label with good distribution, right place to be, and who discovered who and how and all of that lovely stuff. You're sharing some pretty cool folks on that there label.
Yes, we've been described as the runt of the litter, which is accurate. We're the least good-looking band on the roster. Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe we compete.
Isn't
with
anybody
going to
say speak for yourself?
Maybe we compete with Dio's.
We can. Yeah, we compete with Dio's.
For the worst. Guy, that's the biggest laugh I've heard Katie have in about three. Katie's in the background. That did make it to the mic.
Least
Katie,
photogenic.
Katie loves Dio. So.
Well, am
I lying there? No. Okay.
I met Isaac Green, who runs Star Time, when we were both in school together in St. Louis, Missouri. And years later, when I had moved to Portland, I was starting this band, which was called, at that point, Stateside. Probably, arguably, an even worse name than the Joggers.
Name that I couldn't deal with.
Daryl was going to quit. It was a terrible name.
Like, ladies and gentlemen, presenting Stateside.
Terrible name. So we sent him our recordings under that moniker. And he hated it. Never replied. And so when we finally made a recording under this name,
he hated it.
No,
we didn't even
send it to him, because we thought he wouldn't like it. But eventually it got to him somehow through various channels, and he called us up. And
what you don't know is that somebody took the tape, they took the demo and put a different name on it, and your real name is, you know, Seabiscuit or
right.
Botswana.
Right. And it's an elaborate. It's kept us in the dark for a long time.
It's a well-kept secret that Isaac hasn't told us
yet. Exactly. But that's how we connected with that label, and they've treated us very well, and he's a good guy.
So the CD that I have in my hand, is this a very different CD than what Isaac got? Did you then go back in and do all sorts of lovely, slick, cool stuff with an important producer and blah, blah, blah?
We recorded more songs. Three of the songs that we gave him for our demo made it to that CD verbatim.
Verbatim.
Three, and then the remaining material is new. And actually, sitting here talking about this record feels really weird, because its songs on it are so old.
That would be question number. Wait, where did I do this?
Did I skip over?
No. But that was a question. I'll get there. But that's okay. Oh, here it is. Question number 8. Some of the track, I'll read it, you know, like a bad reader. So everybody can now know that I've got some of these questions written down and did a little bit of research. You know what, Ben?
Yes.
Some of these tracks on this CD are almost 3 years old. Are they from an earlier EP?
Ancient history. Well, you know, the way that it goes when you have zero leverage with with your record label, is they do things at their schedule. So once they said, we want to put out one of your recordings, it took us a long time to come up with the material for a first recording. We gave them the recording, then it takes a long time to get
together. It's like an airport. You need your slot to take off. And
You know, and then you tour on that recording for a long time, which actually makes you have less time for writing new stuff, or at least in our style of writing new material. And then after all this, we took basically a long time off, because we were going through some internal boring struggles. So now we're just coming back to playing again with a slightly different lineup than we had. It's the wheels of Funky Justice move slowly.
Okay, now you realize you just came up with two better band names: Internal Boring Struggles and Wheels of Funky Justice.
Those are old ones.
Those are old.
Back to that Rick James, Wheels of Funky Justice.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it takes so long.
To speak to the age of some of those numbers on the album, to display some of our inner strife, would be the fact that a couple songs did not make the release because of simple
inner strife.
A major
Hold on to
chords.
That.
A major chords have no place in our brand of rock some days. So, unfortunately,
Daryl is
some of the of the more favored numbers saw their.
Some of Daryl's more favored numbers did not make it to the final cut. Well, we're just trying to get back into the whole being in a band thing again after
upheaval.
After, you know, being in nurse school for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the last night of the tour, so it's more of a fun finale for us.
So, strangest moment on the tour and best, like, scream out from the audience. Because I'll tell you, last night with the concert I was at, there were some scream outs that just, it's amazing. It's you know, people still have not figured out that they're not really supposed to scream out Freebird anymore because the joke is long gone.
I can't believe people still do it.
Ted Leo got a few of those. Yeah. We welcome the silence because last time we were in Orange County, Daryl offended some...
How could you not go to Orange County and offend somebody?
Some people with a particular sort of joke.
Anybody, would you care to? We're not in Orange County, but we.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, it was.
Can't get any muckraking going here. Nothing. He's being too polite. This is rock and roll.
I don't know. What was a common heckle we would get? We'd get a runaway.
Which is obvious.
What do you guys call joggers? Runaway.
Runaway, which is always fun to get.
That's pretty deep.
Really
deep.
Gotta have thick skin.
That was
okay. That was with the Black Keys.
I could
imagine them wanting us to run away. I'd want the same.
You mean they actually screamed "run"?
Not the Black Keys. The audience.
No,
but I'm slow.
Keys.
I just figured this out. And I just realized how absolutely stupid it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
Woof.
We.
That's just on the dumb meter. That's a 10.5.
But it still cuts deep, man. Cuts deep.
Oh. Well, then let's get back to Warm and Fuzzy. The album cover, which you guys obviously, I did my homework. I actually read what there was of the liner notes. No lyrics in here. It kind of bummed. But very outdoorsy, butterflies, rocks, trees.
Do you know the reference?
And then there's the music. No, but you're going to tell me.
There's
no jogger in here.
Yeah.
We stole that album cover from Buffalo Springfield's Again record.
Okay. I'll go home. I will put the two next to each other on a shelf, and I will meditate for at least, you know.
He has them next and right by his bed. He meditates.
Do
nightly.
You?
I don't know. I think it looks pretty. It's
it's close.
It's a good looking album cover, and you know,
this is special.
It needed to have more.
This
than
is
one.
Special. I mean, the audience has to see the record to understand, but this is special. Nice Photoshop work there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some really, really heavy duty graphic approach here.
It's another in-joke. We just like stupid in-jokes.
At being what the ugliest band on Star Time, might as well put our faces on the cover.
I don't know. I have to say that the current thing, which, let's see, I don't want to make fun of any particular band like Franz Ferdinand, but, you know, album cover art is only of one of two things these days. You know, people trying to be clever and fun and smart, or big fat type with ugly orange and yellow colors that just, it's kind of like, guys, there's got to be an idea somewhere other than putting it in a triangle or a circle and, you know, making your A bigger than, you know, the rest of the, it just.
Well, you know, just, no one just sees one the album covers opinion. Anymore. All they do is see the MP3. MP3 tags.
I don't know, man. When I go on that iTunes thing, I blow up the album cover, and if the music, you know, was... Well, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, this should have been the first question. The, you know, how'd you guys get together? It's like the Casey Kasem. So, Ben and gang, how did you guys actually hook up and make the joggers?
Oh, I wish we had a really...
We don't really have any interesting
make something
story.
Up.
We all just
damn
went
it,
to
make something up.
Portland, because we thought it'd be an inexpensive place to play music. We all wanted to start a band. I met Daryl because he was a good friend of a good friend of mine, and we met Jake by putting an ad in the newspaper for a drummer who was into Polvo and Fleetwood Mac. And great bands.
Careful.
Yeah. And many other good bands
many
were listed
other
that
good bands.
Will go.
And I actually wanted
Polvo
nothing.
Polvo and Fleetwood Mac. Woo!
They're good bands.
Yeah, Daryl didn't even want
to
be
I actually wanted
band.
Nothing to do with the band and said no for
he
a
still
long
doesn't.
Time.
I'm putting this interview to a stop right now. Each of you, your
Ben
favorite Fleetwood. I'm going to interrupt you on this one. I'm just got to get him. It gives him a chance to choke anyway.
Fleetwood Mac?
Favorite Fleetwood Mac song, each of you. Let's go.
Oh probably. That's really hard. Probably Gypsy. I'm serious. I love that. I love that song. There's no insincerity in our love for Fleetwood Mac.
I can't think of the title. I think it's just the first song on Tusk. Or maybe it's... I can't think of the title. Somewhere in there, though.
Dreams or Sarah.
There you go. So, Ben, back to what you were telling us.
Uh-huh.
And he was...
He was telling you nothing. I was telling you... I wanted nothing to do
with it. He hasn't told me anything in the entire interview. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
Yeah. Daryl...
When I first met Ben, we played in a little duo called the Cajun Gems, and I was very excited about that outfit. He, at the same time, wanted to start a more rockin' group that I didn't really...
I want to
have much interest in. However, they were continuously auditioning.
The Joggers didn't meet his aesthetic criteria, but once he saw how much money he could make.
Once I got to play in a rhythm section with Jake, I was sold on the deal. So that was the end of that.
What song has everyone decided, the record company, of course, is the Joggers' signature song or anthem, and why?
So far, I mean... Probably Back to the Future. Why? I don't know. Probably because of the shape note singing on it. But we're hoping to...
Eclipse.
Yeah.
We haven't played that song all tour.
Yeah, we haven't played it all tour.
We're not
it actually is really weird to talk to you about that record because it seems like ancient history and we're all focused on going back into the studio and doing new material.
And yet, it's all new to us. So there you have it. Kind of fact of life.
It's a
slow roller.
It's a slow, it's kind of funny the way that goes.
Well, yeah. It's kind of interesting that some things you jump right on and then you find out they're really old, or some things you wait a long time to play and you find out that you're still ahead of everybody else because it's kind of sat in a weird pile and gathered dust.
Right.
It's dusty.
It's dusty. All right.
It's dusty. Okay. Better. Can't clean CDs. They claim you can clean CDs. You ever try to clean a CD or a DVD? It destroys it. It doesn't work.
Well, I heard they had these melting things that if you have scratches, will melt the scratches down so you can use them again.
So you're saying that if I don't like this, I could just finally reuse it and use it as a CDR?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Is that what kind of clean you're talking about? Well, I work at a treatment center with kids, and they often have to clean their CDs, and they just use the alcohol prep pads that you'd use to draw blood. And that works pretty well. Cleans them up. Try it out.
Yeah.
Except that there's different songs on them when they put them back in the player.
No, works fine.
It's all hip-hop.
It works fine.
That's all it was.
Yeah, it wasn't anything else.
Okay, back to our regular scheduled program. See, now, segue. Ready?
Ready.
Question number 12. Back to the Future. I've never read Daniel Reed's Sherburne. Tell me about it.
It's one of the more famous...
1800 and what?
The thing is that a lot of those tunes were adaptations of adaptations. So that his particular arrangement of that tune was not the seed of that song. But that is one of the more popular tunes from a book called The Sacred Harp, which is the compendium of shape note tunes that has been sung in the States for 200 years. And it's a beautiful tune, and the lyrics are incredibly dark. And most songs talk about death, about the approaching death, which is kind of funny that we took from it, because I would not say that we're a particularly dark band. I like to think of us as being an optimistic band.
But you have an opportunity here. You know, you could just go dark next.
Yeah. There's a lot of dark stuff out there.
You think so? Gosh, golly, I didn't know.
At least
know.
Not in a straightforward way, like Bowling for Soup.
Bowling for Soup, one of my favorites. Who are the most insane bands, speaking of Bowling for Soup, who are the most insane bands you've been compared to, and who would you like to be compared to? That was a Terry Gross NPR question, by the way. Did you like that?
Most insane bands you've been compared to?
The one that always comes to mind is Dexy's Midnight Runners. Someone always says that. Or XTC.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that every single current groovy band, particularly of the British ilk, is Dexy Midnight... Why are people... Those are the two bands that people have pulled out.
Yeah,
is Dexy's Midnight Runners and XTC? Is that the only thing left?
That's the one that everyone mentions,
I don't see that anywhere. Music reviewers get, you know, just as bands get popular, certain references get popular, and people were straining themselves, bending over backwards to compare bands to Gang of Four, which held some water, but I think it's just lazy journalism.
But in reality, and it's funny because on one of the guest DJ sets I did a while back, somebody requested... something other than Come On Eileen. But not only that, but we don't, a reviewer is reviewing an album by an American band and comparing you to Dexy's Midnight Runners, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts, my favorite expression, that that reviewer has only heard one or two Dexy's Midnight Runner songs in their entire life and couldn't name the other
most
eight that were hitting.
Journalism is incredibly lazy. Just like most bands out there are really lazy in their songwriting. I think it's just kind of the people follow the path of least resistance. We do, certainly, in many cases. But in terms of like comparisons, you know, everyone's going to compare something to their own personal experience, but you know, maybe
it's something to do.
Yeah, you know, it's something to do. We don't hold too much water with those comparisons.
Okay, so then who would you like to be compared to?
Does that mean who are our favorite bands, or who would we like to be compared to?
No, we're going to do that in a different way on the next one. Who
would we like?
Not favorite bands, but who do you really?
The best thing to hear is that you sound like nobody else. You sound totally fresh.
What a
Frank Frank Zappa. Probably Lindsay Buckingham.
She's back.
She's back. Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac has entered the building again.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to be compared to bands with longevity, no one in specific, you know, specifically.
So this new material that you are already working on, because this is the museum of modern history that I'm holding in my hand.
Yes.
What are you working on, and what are we going to hear that's new and different and interesting? Not from, you know, in terms of
how
what
stylistically
I have here.
Different.
Yeah. Are you going to stick with the same style question, or are you?
I don't know. I always feel like it's hard to characterize something until it's done, but.
But like, what's in your head? Where do you really want to take it?
We all really like music that's fun to listen to, that's sincere, that every measure is thought out, but not in a clinical way. Just making sure that there's not filler in there. And sometimes we get accused of having songs that are too busy for that reason. We all really like pop music. Or what has been called pop, but you know, we have our favorites. Daryl and I like a lot of weirdo, pseudo ethnic music, and actually ethnic music recorded from all over the place. And we also really like, you know, straight up stuff like Squeeze and love the Beatles and the Kinks and a million other bands that would take forever to list. And Jake is more of our expert in soft rock.
He's a 70s man.
Yep.
Oh, give us a few.
Oh.
Well, actually.
Where do I begin?
I'm gonna give you the chance, because the last thing that we do, which I have a feeling it's funny, because Katie always says, well, you know, some bands just don't completely get what I'm about to ask you to do, and I have a feeling you're just going to have a party with this. What we ask you to do, it's become the tradition to do a Jogger's musical sandwich, where two of your songs are the bread, and then you can pick as many fillings as you want in the middle, and we pretty much, well, heck, we're going to have about 30 minutes to play with.
What do you think?
I would choose any song off the Devil and the Devil's Anvil album.
Yeah, Devil's Anvil was an offshoot of Mountain. Anything by John Fahey would be cool.
Anything by the Thinking Fellers, Union Local 282.
Good especially San Francisco band.
Especially off Strangers from the Universe.
Yeah, are we just picking? Are you just
go ahead?
Yeah, throw
no, I'm
soft
still
rock.
Thinking.
Soft
I'm
rock
thinking.
Expert. Please save me here, because these guys are just
they're trying to obscure us out of the room. I will, since I'm a team player, I'll throw Fleetwood Mac. Silver Spring, because I think that's a song. That
flip side of Go Your Own.
Yeah,
go,
didn't make
Go Your Own Way. See, I'm making fun of Fleetwood Mac, but that doesn't mean that I, you know, it's part of the fun of the show to make fun of Fleetwood Mac. Doesn't mean I don't have all that stuff.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, didn't make Rumors, and it was the best song they recorded, so I should have made it.
No, I have the single, so that's easy enough to do.
And
I've admitted it. Okay.
Okay. Good.
I'm one of the tribe.
And I was gonna say Leo Sayer, but
Okay, wait. Now,
how about James Gang?
No, wait. Leo Sayer. Now, not You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. You have to go with track number one, How Much Love.
I don't think I see my expert status is getting shot down.
When I
don't think I know it.
Need you. Oh, come on. One more. Give us another. We need another soft rock, too.
Yeah, no, I'll just say Dancing in the Moonlight by King Harvest. Yeah.
I actually have played that for real.
Okay, yeah, well, great.
It's like 2 minutes and 28 seconds, so you can't... But by the time that's over, people just don't even know that they've been turned on to something so incredibly, you know, insipidly, non-existently...
Could you play an Alan Lomax song, something from the Sacred Harp?
Sure.
I think that would be cool.
Sure.
And we could play Back to the Future, too.
Oh, yeah.
So just to show Back to the Future first into Alan Lomax...
Okay, and you still owe me one track on the Ancient History CD, as we've now renamed it.
Oh, what's a good closer, fella? Oh, no.
Can I look at it?
Can I what? This CD is so old, I don't remember what our tunes are.
Oriental.
How about Oriental Alarms?
Would you like to guess what the first track I instantly played is?
No.
All right. Well, thank you, joggers, for this invigorating and interesting 30 minutes of jogger history thus far.